Hello, everybody, and welcome to Test 2, preparation class for the elementary group in this American History program of History at Our House. We have the test preparation sheets have been in your possession now for 3 days, and you've had a chance to work on them, and so we're going to dive right into them. And so let's go ahead. I'm going to share my screen with you and get on with the business of prepping for the test here. And evidently, we have two levels, so we're going to be going back and forth between them. And, well, you've noticed that some things are similar now, and some things have changed. So, for instance, with regard to the facts practice component, as I call it, the practicing of the basic facts, I've taken out the pictures and I just put the dates. So every time we do some kind of facts practice, the prompt is going to change. So in other words, it's nice to have a picture to remind yourself of something, but in history you don't often have that. So it's also good to note to think of dates as the thing that you kind of trigger your thoughts based on dates in history usually. So that's another way we're going to do it. And then in other cases, we'll do somebody's name or an event, and then you'll have to tell me the date, right? So that's the way that we need to be able to think about history. We can't just think about history in one way. Otherwise, we're kind of stuck and we're not going to be able to have more interesting thoughts later on. So that's why the facts practice part is changing. Okay, so this is pretty quick here. All I want from either of you in your different levels is a description of the key event occurring at the date indicated. Okay, so let me just remove this noisy hand-raising thing where WebEx has been reverting to the sound, and let's get going. So Dana, get us started. Number one.
Manes Narmer unifies Egypt.
Manes Narmer unifies Egypt. Right. Becomes the monarch, right? The ruler of Egypt. Okay. Both levels also have, as number two, 508/509. So, Jeremy, what level are you doing? Jeremy, can't hear you. Go ahead.
Upper L.
Upper L. Okay, go ahead, Jeremy.
Greeks and the Romans make two new types of government, democracy and republic.
Okay, that's very nice, except it's a little bit unclear which is which. Can you make sure for me, Jeremy, which one is which? Who makes which one?
The Greeks make democracy and the Romans make the republic.
Okay, good. That is what I would prefer you to write, just so it doesn't, it's not unclear which one is which. And in particular, I think it's worthwhile giving the Athenians the credit. Athens was a city that was basically a country. So we call that a city-state. And it was the Athenians who invented democracy. So yes, they were Greek, and there were a lot of cool Greek people in other places too. So I love the Greeks, but the Athenians are the ones that deserve the credit for democracy. Okay, then number three for both levels as well is circa 4 BC. Rosie, go ahead.
Jesus Christ is born in the Roman Empire.
There we go. Okay, good. And then, so it keeps on going from here, and you'll notice that on the test, I'll probably be asking about four anchor fact questions for the lower L and five for the upper L, okay? That's going to be about the average or so, or more for the upper L anyway. But you both have 476. So anyway, Anna, go ahead with that one.
European barbarians conquer Rome.
Okay, all right. Or we could say cause the fall of the Roman Empire. I think I would prefer that. Okay, cause the fall, because there's, you know why, Anna? Because this, and destroy is not so good either, Dana, so watch out. Okay, here, let me just give you a reason why. Fall of the Roman Empire is a famous phrase, and it's a famous thought. And it captures the idea that this big thing, an empire, which is huge, falls. How does that work? Well, it's not destroyed physically, and the people are still there. But somehow, it's not an empire anymore. How does that happen? Well, the emperor, in effect, loses his job, and other people are doing it. So the empire is gone. The people are there, and a lot of things are still there, but the empire isn't. So it's better to use this phrase, it's a good phrase, the fall of the Roman Empire. Okay? Good. And then finally, Jack, number 5, please.
476 AD.
No, number 5.
Oops. I was going to give a better answer for 4.
A better answer? Okay, what's your answer?
Well, in 476 AD, the Vandals sacked Rome and the Roman Empire
fell. Ooh, no, that is not a better answer, Jack. And this is part of a tricky situation. The Vandals sacked Rome in 455. So this is why, now 476 is when the emperor Romulus Augustus was deposed. So you have to, that's the final event. So don't use the Vandals for 476. Okay, I'm glad you said that because no, in fact, it's not a better answer. So we got can't have that. Okay, Nemo, number 5, please.
In 1776 AD, the founding fathers created the greatest nation ever known by signing the Declaration of Independence.
There we go. Ha, what a nice and complete statement, right? Because you've even got the significance in there. So if you had just written, founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, creating the United States, that would be good enough. But the truth is, it's much more than that, right? It is the founding of the most important country in the history of the world. Okay, lower L students, get us started on the Renaissance part here. So, I don't have many of you guys. Put your hands down unless you're lower L. Number 5, what does the word Renaissance mean? What are two things that returned into European life in this period? So, Patrick, right next to me here is lower L. So, I don't know how many others we have. Just Gurney, aren't you lower L? So, go ahead, Patrick. Read out the number 5 answer.
Reconquista.
No, not Reconquista. Careful.
Okay.
Read it. Okay, you're having trouble with that pronunciation, which is okay. Renaissance.
Renaissance means rebirth.
Okay.
Two things that were reborn were art and science.
Right. Now, those are two. So, Renaissance means rebirth, and the two things were science and art. Now, careful about the re words. We've got different ones. And we have Reconquista, but you can't get those two mixed in your minds. Reconquista is an 800-year war. Renaissance is a rebirth. Now, the upper L students have a little bit of a tougher job here. Notice this. It says, using at least two anchor facts, explain how the birth of America is part of a rebirth of Greek and Roman ideas. Okay. So, Abby, get us started on that.
I'm sorry, I have a bit of a cold. When the Roman Empire fell in 476 AD, the ideas about government that the Greeks and Romans had had were lost. However, in 1776, the founding fathers brought their ideas back to light. In other words, the ideas were reborn.
All right, nicely done. So Abby decided to choose the anchor fact 476 and the anchor fact 1776. Two good choices. But guess what? Not the only possible choices. So there are a lot of interesting possible answers here. And this is what history is like when we're thinking about it. We can summon many different facts to support our thoughts. So that's why I asked this question. So who has a different set of facts? What's a different set of facts? Anna, how about you?
Okay. Birth of America is a part of a rebirth of Greek and Roman ideas because the founding fathers used the ideas of the Athenian democracy and the Roman Republic to create the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, you are certainly correct, but I would like to see something else in your answer. I would like to see, because this is history, Anna. What do we need in history? History is when. History is about when things happen. Because we live now. Alright? So, that's why we need to know when. Because if something was wonderful, but it's 5,000 years ago, well, it probably doesn't have much to do with us. If it's wonderful and it's 5 years ago, then when is a big deal, right? So, don't forget, especially when you're talking about a rebirth, to get the when back in there. All right, I'm going to give, this is an interesting question. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give Wyatt a chance, and then we'll come back to this if anybody's especially eager to tell their answer to this one, because there are other choices. Wyatt, go ahead. Keep trying. I know we have a very typical sound problem on your end, Wyatt. So, I wonder why that is. I think you and I need to spend more time on this sound issue, because why are you experiencing it all the time? Is a big question in my mind. Okay, so unfortunately I can't hear you. So, Wyatt, you should leave and come back. If you can hear me, you should leave and come back. Okay, so who did not get a chance here? Jeremy, go ahead.
When the founding fathers worked 5 years on how to make a new government, they used the ideas of the Greeks and Romans. There was a rebirth of the idea of freedom.
Okay, that's true, but you're not using the anchor facts. So here's what I mean by that, Jeremy. An anchor fact is the signing of the Declaration of Independence. An anchor fact is the invention of democracy, the invention of a republic. So you are definitely having thoughts related to that, but you're not actually saying that. Okay, so we need facts, we need dates in order to have the complete thoughts. So what I would say there, Jeremy, would be when the founding fathers created America by signing the Declaration of Independence in 1776, they were relying on the reborn ideas of the Greeks who had created democracy in 508 and the Romans who had created a republic in 509 BC. Okay, something like that. Okay, that's why I want anchor facts. Okay, good question. Yes, Dana, you are right. We need the circa. I was talking too quickly, wasn't I? All right, lower L. What part of the world did Marco Polo travel to? How did Prince Henry hope to reach that? Hope to reach it? And did that... No, it's not the same thing in upper L. Okay, so, Patrick, you might be the only lower L here. I don't know. I don't see any of the lower L hands going up. So, answer, Patrick. You've done a good job here. Go ahead.
Marco Polo wanted to travel to China. Prince Henry sailed around Africa in hope of getting to China.
Okay, there we go. And you wrote Cathay, but you forgot to tell us. So yes, Marco Polo traveled to Cathay, i.e. China, and Prince Henry wanted to get there by sailing around Africa. All right, that matters because, well, Columbus has a different idea, doesn't he? Okay, upper L students, what language does the word Renaissance come from? What does it mean? And what was the Renaissance in art? So that's number 7 for you guys. Sigourney, go ahead.
The French world Renaissance means rebirth. The people of Europe perceived the ancient celebration of human life through realistic and beautiful art of the ancient Greeks and Romans.
Wonderfully put. The rebirth of realistic and beautiful art. Because human beings are beautiful. Okay. Yeah, that's what the Greeks thought. And the art really does show it, doesn't it? Okay, excellent answer. Number 8, let's go with upper L again. What Italian merchant inspired the explorers of the Age of Discovery? Okay, that's similar. What part of the world did European explorers want to reach and why? Because of him. Okay, there's the and why in there, isn't there? Jack, go ahead.
Marco Polo wrote a book that inspired European explorers to go to Asia in search of spices and other luxury goods, which could be sent back to Europe for a large profit.
Okay, nice. That could be sent back to Europe for a large profit. Exactly. Go make some money. Okay, good. Another version of that answer, Rosie?
The merchant that inspired the explorers of the Age of Discovery was Marco Polo. They wanted to reach China because his story told of the rich, powerful China.
Okay, because of how rich and powerful China was, and therefore you could trade with them and become rich yourself. Okay, so keep that in mind. The way you put it, because China was rich and powerful, well, okay, that's not quite an answer, is it? It kind of leaves you hanging. Okay, they were rich and powerful. Well, that still doesn't say why you would want to go meet somebody who's rich and powerful, right? So what Jack had there about making money was the reason. Okay? So, number 9. Why is 1415 an important date in the Age of Discovery? What happened in that year, and how is it connected to globalization, Sigourney?
1415 is an important date in the Age of Discovery because Prince Henry conquered Ceuta in North Africa. And this trade network helped to make Portugal richer. This made him want to find a way to get around or through Africa for more trade.
Nice.
To do this, he opened the School of Geography and began exploring.
Wow, well put, well put. Okay, right, so it's a conquest. The conquest of Ceuta is just like anything else in the Dark Ages, right? It's one group with their tribe and their god killing another group with their god and their tribe. Oh, it's the Dark Ages still, is it? Well, yes, but no, because Prince Henry is a man of the Renaissance. He's interested in trade and he's interested in geography, the science. And that way, he starts this exploration, and that leads to globalization. Okay, very nice. Does anybody want to give another answer to that? We could have probably different wordings on this question, so I welcome different versions. So, Jeremy, how about you?
In 1415, Prince Henry conquered the Muslim city of Ceuta in northern Africa. He realized Portugal could be part of a huge trading network, and he established a School of Geography and went new exploration.
Okay, right, a School of Geography and started new exploration. Okay, good. All right, we're almost getting caught up to the lower L number 7 here. The upper L's have extra questions. So, of course, because you guys have harder work to do. All right, so number 10. What are 3 different views concerning the discovery of America? Why is Columbus's voyage of 1492 by far the most important discovery in American history? Abby, get us started, please.
One view is that since the natives already lived here, it cannot really be discovered. Another is that Leif Erikson, a Viking, rediscovered it part of North America and discovered America. However, the story of how the United States USA came to be only begins in 1492 with the discovery of America by Christopher Columbus.
All right, good. Right, that's it. The story of how the world we live in came to be only begins in 1492. Nothing that happened before has anything to do with it. Now, that doesn't sound very nice to the people who did their best back then, right? But basically, that's true of everybody else everywhere. So, you've got to have this clear understanding that history is about how we got to be where we are in this world now. A reason for studying it is not just to know a bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with life here and now, but rather to know our world. Okay, Sigourney is eager to contribute on this one. Go ahead, Sigourney. Sigourney, are you ready?
Christopher Columbus arrived in the Americas in 1492, but not everyone agrees that he discovered America. Some people say that because Indians were living here, it could not be discovered. Others prefer to give credit for living here. It could for the age of discovery of America to a Viking named Leif Erikson, who found part of North America around the year 1000. Christopher Columbus deserves the credit because his discovery changed the world, and the others didn't cause any change.
Okay, good. It sounds very reminiscent of my class notes, and so this gives me an opportunity to say something about how you write out your answers. It's good to find the answers exactly in the class notes, but I highly recommend that you try to put it in your own words. So I can't remember exactly, Sigourney. I feel like those words are remind me very much of my own notes. So just think about that and see how you would write it yourself on a test. Of course, you wouldn't be able to look at the notes. So your best bet there, here's how you do that, is you read the notes, talk to yourself about whether you understand them, and then put them away. And then you write it yourself. And then that way, there's no temptation to kind of use somebody else's words. It becomes your own thought. Okay? Just a word of advice about that. Okay, so now Upper L and Lower L had the same question. And so, what was Columbus's idea about reaching Asia? What does the following map show us about his idea and why he was wrong in a good way? And Patrick has this one. So, Patrick, go ahead.
Columbus's idea was to reach China by sailing west. This map shows his intended route from Lisbona to Cathay. He was wrong because there was an undiscovered continent in his way.
He was wrong because there was an undiscovered continent. Nicely put. Right. Keep in mind, Columbus did not sail from Lisbon, because Lisbon is in Portugal. But who did Columbus sail for? Isabella of Castile, which is now part of what country next to Portugal?
Spain,
yeah. So what you did was you saw this little part on the map and you got a little bit confused by that, okay? So watch out. This is where Lisbon is, that's true, but that's not where Columbus sailed from, okay? So he sailed for Spain because the King of Portugal did not want to let him go on his trip. He already had his own explorers going in another way, right? Okay, so how are we doing for time here? We're on number, we got to probably finish up. And then what I'm going to do is, at the end, I'm going to say, everybody gets to choose their absolute favorite answer that they didn't get to say for a particular question, and we'll let people do that, okay? So, let's have here, continuing with the story. Oh, the Upper L's got a couple more. What was the Treaty of Tordesillas of 1494? What country's fate was sealed by this arrangement? Nemo, please.
The Treaty of Tordesillas of 1494 was when Portugal and Spain, eager to avoid fighting over their new discoveries, asked the Pope to split up the non-Christian world between them. The Pope drew an imaginary line running down the center of the Atlantic Ocean. Portugal received the portion to the east of that line. Since the true size of the Americas and of the world was not yet known, this gave Brazil to Portugal.
Okay, there we go. All right, so it was a treaty between Portugal and Spain. It said we each get half of the world, and Brazil was on part of the line because they hadn't discovered it yet, and so Portugal got to have it. All right, so finishing up here, number So we got slightly different questions for lower L and upper L. So Patrick, do the lower L one. What were the three main forms of Christianity that arose against the Pope during the Age of Discovery? So go ahead. Three kinds.
Lutheranism Anglicanism, Calvinism.
Good. Lutheranism, Anglicanism, and Calvinism. Okay, and so the upper L students have a little bit more of a challenging question. What were the three main forms of Christianity that rose during the Age of Discovery? What did they have in common? So, Abby, who has a sore throat, go ahead.
They all disagree with the Pope.
Oh, is that what you wrote?
I think so.
No, that's not enough, because you didn't write the Lutheranism, Anglicanism, Calvinism part. Wyatt, go ahead. Did you make it back? No. All right. You and I are going to work during the Thanksgiving break on this sound issue. Just your family and mine. Okay. Let's see here. Rosie.
The three main forms of Christianity that arose during the Age of Discovery were Lutheranism, Anglicanism, and Calvinism. What these had in common was they all had a ruler that chooses it. And the people had to follow it.
Okay, you know what? That's true. It always involved having a ruler choose it, and then the people had to follow it if that ruler chose. Okay, that's an interesting one. Okay, that I would mark that correct. That's not what I expected. But Anna, go ahead.
The three main forms of Christianity that arose during the Age of Discovery were Roman Catholic, Lutheranism, and Calvinism. What they all had in common was that they were all based on an afterlife, or life after death.
Well, no, that's incorrect in a couple ways. One is, you chose the wrong one. So Catholicism did not arise during the Age of Discovery. It was already there. Okay, so that one was long established. That was the standard. Right, so what came up was Lutheranism against the Pope, Anglicanism against the Pope, and Calvinism against the Pope. So that's how you find out the common denominator is that all three of them got started and said, all three of them said, we don't agree with the Pope. They all said other different things, right? One of them said, our king is the leader of our church. Another one said, Martin Luther's the only one who knows. And then another one said, no, John Calvin is the only one who knows. Okay, so everybody has a different version of what they believe, but all of them said, we know who's wrong. none of us like the Pope. That's what they all had in common. Okay, so let's see here. Sigourney, last one on this one.
Anglicanism, Calvinism, and Lutheranism were the main forms of Christianity that arose during the Age of Discovery, and they rejected the authority of the Pope.
There you go. Okay, they all rejected the authority of the Pope. All right, so bonus questions! Number 14. What were the names of Columbus's three ships on his voyage of 1492? Dana.
The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Okay, all we need to do is put a little twist on that Niña, because in Spanish you put a little Cedilla. No, it's not a Cedilla. It's a different kind of accent on top of the N, and it becomes Niña. Okay, Pinta and Santa Maria. All right, so what was the name of the alliance that protected Martin Luther from the Holy Roman Emperor? Whose pronunciation will succeed on this question? Jeremy.
The smell
of cup. Oh, poor. I know, it's so hard to say. But S-C-H is a little bit different than that. Nemo, can you help?
I'm raising my hand for the next
one. Oh, well, don't do that. I haven't gotten it yet. Anna?
Small cup.
Schmoll Koldic League. Okay, I have no way of advising you on how to get that right other than just keep hearing it and keep trying it out. The Schmoll Koldic League. Okay. All right. I can't believe I didn't put the motto, Cuius Regio, Eius Religio, and the test prep. But it's going to be on the test. Okay. What were the names for China and Japan in Columbus's time? Last one, Jack.
China was called Cathay and Japan was called Sepang.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And who can tell me what Cuius Regio, Eius Religio means? Patrick.
The ruler chooses the religion.
All righty. Do we have that problem today? Whew. Thankfully not. All right. Thank you, Founding Fathers. All right. So that's one thing you can be thankful for over the Thanksgiving break. And so enjoy that. And like I said, oh, wait a minute. I did promise that I would give you a chance to say your absolutely favorite answer that you did not have a chance to say. So if you have such an answer, only if you do, please. If it really matters to you and you didn't get a chance, then go ahead and keep your hand up, and I will give you a chance now. So, Caleb, please, go ahead.
It's the last one on part four. It's, Cathay and Zipangu.
And Zipangu.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Okay, I pronounce it Zipangu, but yes, okay. So I don't think it's a CH, but it might be. You might be right, I might be wrong. Rosie, what about you?
It's number 11.
Okay, number 11. Go ahead.
Christopher Columbus' idea of how to reach Asia was to go west because he said the world was round, not flat.
Okay. And that's not the whole question, though. Notice? What does the following map show us about how his idea and why he was wrong? Did you have that part, too?
He was wrong in a good way because he found the Americas for Europe.
Okay. He was wrong in a good way because the Americas were where he thought Asia would be. That's the good way. All right, good. All right. Mute yourself there, Rosie. I need your help. Thank you. Sometimes the sound controls are pretty funky. Okay, so, Patrick, what did you want to say? Okay, I don't know why your hand was up then. All right, so we are done, I think. As usual, very good work, everybody. I guess Sigourney did have one more thing. Go ahead, Sigourney.
Number 7.
Okay, number 7.
The French word Renaissance means rebirth. The people of Europe revived the ancient celebration of human life through realistic and beautiful art of the ancient Greeks and Romans.
Well, I think you actually were the one to answer that, but it was such a good answer that I'm not upset to hear it again. All right. So, wonderful. Thank you all. Have a great Thanksgiving. I hope you get stuffed with turkey and stuffing and wonderful gravy and potatoes and cranberry sauce and everything. And then you recover from that and you're ready for classes a week from Monday. All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great break. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Cowell. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.